Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of Stephen in our first lesson today really begins with Jesus. Jesus was well into his Galilean ministry when he decided to return home to Nazareth. He went to the hometown synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they welcomed him by giving him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He read a passage and told everyone that the prophet's words had been fulfilled right then and there in their hearing. But then he went on to speak words of truth to his family and friends. Now, these are people who had known him since he had been a very small child, and the words were a bit harsh. He talked about how the prophets Elijah and Elisha had not bothered to help their own people, but rather foreigners. In other words, forget you, they went to the non-Jews. Well, the people at Nazareth did not take this too well. Hometown kid or not, they physically dragged him out of the synagogue and to the edge of a cliff to hurl him to his death. These were the people who had been closest to him all those years growing up. And in that moment, as they were about to kill him, as a human being, you think he might have felt a profound sense of betrayal? And yet he knew this would happen. He was also a prophet. And he just told them, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And not too long later, Jesus was teaching a large crowd of followers. I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. But love your enemies. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Well, not everyone would heed this message. Many would become his enemies, and one would even betray him. His own people had him nailed on a cross to kill him. And while suffering, in profound pain and humiliation, as the betrayal of an entire world weighed down on him, hanging from those nails, he simply said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. He blessed them. He did not curse. He called for forgiveness and reprieve from the fires of judgment. A little later, amid that suffering, he called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. And saying this, he breathed his last. That was the moment that Jesus won the salvation not only for an entire world, but also for you and for me. That blood covers our lives. But the story didn't end there. Jesus rose from the dead. And the book of Acts would continue the story of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That work would continue. Now, some people tell us that it is not possible to be truly like Christ. How do we follow in our Savior's footsteps when, after all, only he could die for the sins of the world? And yet the scriptures over and over again tell a story not only about how Jesus died for us, but also about how we too are to die. We are to be like Christ. Yes, even in his suffering and death on the cross. Now you might ask, how can that be? Well, Jesus explained it one day to his disciples after he'd foretold the events to come. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory and that of the Father and of the holy angels. Speaking of not being ashamed to stand up for the Lord. A Chinese Christian man who participated in the Tiananmen Square protest decades ago has since come to live in the United States and is working from here on behalf of persecuted Christians all throughout China. The Chinese government is working to shut down churches and to imprison those who stand firm for their confession of Jesus Christ. One man was even sentenced to several years in prison for publicly praying that the Lord might bring Xi Jinping to faith. Now, this Chinese Christian man here in America, his name is Bob Fu, has joined many from persecuted countries now living here who are sounding the warning for us. Fu noticed how many government officials during the COVID crisis, even if well-intentioned, were acting in the same authoritarian fashion as in communist China. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti threatened to cut the utilities of anyone who defied COVID restrictions, including churches gathering to worship Jesus Christ. The governor of California issued strict orders for churches to stop gathering for worship. Now, Bob Fu knows that the language they were using was identical to what he'd seen the Communist Party in China use when shutting down churches, supposedly for the sake of the greater welfare. Now, Bob Fu has been joined by Pastor Arthur Pulowski of Calgary, Canada. He escaped Communist Poland and went to jail because he kept his church open during the pandemic for those who needed to come and hear the Word of God. Now, Pulowski has also noticed how big tech is clamping down against free speech in the United States, and especially against the free expression of the Christian faith and of its values. And he warned that the tactics are very much the same that he witnessed in communist Poland. Or as Bob Fu put it, suddenly mayors and governors become little emperors. They think that their power is above the authority of God and over the church. They want to be manager of the church. They want to tell you when and how to worship. But we don't have to go that far away. The high school son of a woman who attends Our Lady's Bible study here at St. Timothy was recently persecuted for his faith. He's a straight-A student here in Lombard who opted to use his required community service hours for the National Honor Society at his local church. Well, the advisors of his National Honor Society chapter told him he was not allowed to count as service hours what was in the context of a church. And when he responded privately to his advisors that this was discriminating against his religion, they expelled him from the NHS for what they called a character issue. And now a national legal organization that defends Christians is having to get involved in our local school district. And we too as a church had to consult with lawyers to defend ourselves when we made the commitment to continue offering God's word and sacraments during COVID because our people and others so desperately need that saving word of God in their lives. The pressures in higher education at the high school level are becoming intense on educators. There is a groupthink mentality that we must all be supportive and encouraging of the LGBTQ and transgender life choices, or else we are guilty of unforgivable discrimination in our worldview. If an administrator is not tolerant of a confessing Christian, that Christian could lose a job very quickly. There's not much in the way of protection. And many of you can point to situations like that in your own lives and at work, in office environments where a confession of Jesus Christ has become increasingly dangerous. The persecuted Christian church is not on distant shores anymore. It's right here in our own backyard and in our lives. And you'll know that ridicule, The minute you open your mouth, whether in a high school classroom or before a non-Christian friend, that God created the world and all that is in it in 6 days, you'll experience that ridicule and rejection when you share the very words of Jesus, that to leave a spouse and to marry another is adulterous. Or when Jesus said that to marry a divorced person is adultery. You'll know what it means to suffer when you confront even yourself for what you have viewed on a computer screen, or for a self-centered approach in how you treat other people when you put yourself first, especially when we sin against our own family members. And yet, as Jesus was dying on the cross, he prayed for forgiveness for those who persecuted and crucified him. He enjoyed a peace that the world does not know when he commended his soul to the Father. And no matter how dark the world may be around us, we enjoy that same peace as well. No matter what people may do to us, or what sins we may be struggling against, we are living in the victory of our salvation, no matter how difficult our struggles. The Easter victory is our victory. Now, Jesus prayed that there might be forgiveness. And there was. And not just for us. Many Jews flocked to join the church on that first Pentecost day as Peter preached in Jerusalem. The church, church grew. It just exploded in that hostile environment. I mean, no matter how much people, wicked people were standing against Jesus, were now standing against his church, it just kept on growing. I mean, it grew to the point that the apostles could not keep up. I mean, they were having trouble getting food to all the believing widows, especially those whose native language was Greek and who shared in that culture. So they delegated their table service duties to 7 men. And Luke tips us off in his own way that to be entrusted with the distribution of the community's goods meant being entrusted with so much more. So they had to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And no surprise, these men began to preach the Word of God to others. And one of them was named Stephen. He dared call the persecution of Jesus and his followers what it was, those Jewish authorities. Jesus said, whenever they bring you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said. And that goes for us here today as well. As Stephen spoke before the Jewish Sanhedrin, his face was like that of an angel as he warned them that they were a stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in their hearts and ears, always resisting the Holy Spirit just like their ancestors. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They even killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You have become the very murderers of the Christ. Well, he said more. But as they listened, they were enraged. They gnashed their teeth against him. Of course, by his words, Stephen was effectively inviting what they were to do next. Let him do it. He was gazing at an open heavens and the glory of God with Jesus standing at the right hand like an advocate before the Father for what would happen next. Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Well, they yelled at the top of their voices. They covered their ears and together they rushed against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And for just a moment, Luke breaks off the narration to tell us that there was this mysterious figure standing off to the side. The people stoning Stephen were laying their garments at his feet. And we also learn that this young man standing there to the side was named Saul. While the rocks were striking, as his time grew short, there was a peace as he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knelt down before the open heavens and the throne of God and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Remind you of someone? And after saying this, he died. What Jesus began to do in his life and ministry, even in his death, was continuing in the lives and deaths of his followers. We too must be ready to take up the cross at a moment's notice to suffer and even die for his name's sake. Jesus told us to pray for our enemies and to pray for our persecutors. And Stephen did. And the Lord on high in those open heavens heard the prayer. The man who orchestrated Stephen's death would soon rain torment and suffering on the entire church of believers in Jerusalem. They had to flee for the sake of their survival. But as they did, they were planting seeds with the word of God everywhere they went along the way, whether Judea or Samaria or even the ends of the earth. No matter how much God's people suffered and were persecuted, every time it happened, the church just seemed to grow. And as for that man standing there in the shadows, orchestrating this campaign of terror against Christ's own, the Lord in heaven heard the prayer, and he became the Apostle Paul. One of the first things the Lord would say about this new apostle, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." The Lord will show each of us here what we must suffer. Jesus said, "I say to you, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God." Now we know today that full story, what would happen with that young man standing there in the shadows. But Stephen, at that point, as he was dying, did not know what the future would hold. He prayed that prayer as his last prayer. When you and I find ourselves suffering for the name of Jesus, we too must pray that the Lord would take the situation in which we find ourselves and use it to his glory, that he would use it to advance his kingdom, that a lost world might come to know him, that even those who persecute us might come to know him. The Lord answered Stephen's prayer that day, and he'll answer ours too when we cry out in the midst of suffering. And even in our own suffering and death, the Lord is still working his incredible victory. And knowing that, you and I enjoy a peace which transcends this world's understanding. We may not know what the results will be in the Lord's good plan and timing, but we pray for those who persecute us and speak ill of us for our confession of Jesus Christ. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And whether we die the martyr's death or not, may the hour one day come when we follow the Lord in death. And you and I in that moment say, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Amen. And now, may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.